You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Saturday, the 14th of March, 2020. The day after, the week before, so to speak, Cheltenham Festival 2020 came to the conclusion yesterday afternoon. I'm delighted to say that from the William Hill Racing Radio Studio that I, Ben Barrett, have been joined by Paddy Aspel. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Ben. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. You've been in the studio today with Gordon Brown and Amy Ryan. Have you been in good form so far today?
Yeah, we've had a bit of luck, to be fair. Even with some of the Irish stuff and with some very, very red-hot racing at Bull Kempton. And Utoxeter and ground is actually better than maybe what I thought, especially Utoxeter. It hasn't been too bad.
I'm going to pick your brain on the Midlands National that's just happened at time of recording in just a little moment. But I do want to rewind ever so slightly back to the Cheltenham Festival. Paddy, you spent a couple of days with it of the Cheltenham Festival with us here at William Hill. Did you enjoy it? Was it everything you kind of hoped for and wished for as a pinnacle of horse racing? And were there any performances that really stood out for you?
Yeah, really enjoyed it. It was hard not to be impressed. Obviously, the Irish had a very good week, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a slow burner for Willie Mullins, but once it did click, there was no stopping him. And in the end, he just managed to nick the Prestbury Cup, didn't he, from Gordon Elliott. It was literally on one placed horse, wasn't it, in the end, I think, that got him it. Very, very enjoyable. And obviously JP absolutely cleaned up owner-wise in the handicaps. Great week for Barry Geraghty. You know, 11 rides, 5 winners. And obviously Paul Townend, obviously, because Willie was a little bit slow out the blocks winners-wise. I know it was sort of a hard-luck story with Benny the Dew, you would say, on the first day. But in Willie's own words, he scored just on the crest of half-time, winning the last race on the on the second day. You know, very, very funny words, but like there's no stopping from then. But no, I said to Gordy inside in the other studio as well, I thought the Irish-based jockeys in particular as well came to the fore.
Yeah,
I just thought there were some serious riding performances by Paul Townend, obviously Russell, and I mentioned Barry Geraghty as well, but Paul Townend in particular. You know, I thought he was fantastic on Min, even old Faheen. You know, he didn't really get the rub of the green, but and obviously, you know, a vital race winning move in a slowly run Gold Cup yesterday on Album Photo. Yeah. You know, it was the lack of intensity in the early part of the race that has been Santini's undoing. But, you know, I don't think Nico could have done a whole lot, because for me, he's not a horse that wants to be on the front end.
Yeah.
Especially, certainly doesn't want to be in front. He's not a front runner, Santini. So his hands were tied. But it was very, very fine margins, because at the death, Album Voto was wanting the line, wasn't he? And Santini was finishing strong. But no, it was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. It was built up to be.
If I had to nail you down for a performance of the festival award, would it be Album Photo for that hardy performance and holding on the DLR? Or something like Champ, who came completely out of the clouds when seemingly absolutely had no chance and still got the victory?
Well, I think the Champ thing, I think the front two, I won't say got at each other, but they both missed the last.
Yeah,
they were tired horses. They both missed the last. Rachel Blackmore's horse wandered about a little bit up the run in, and yeah, it probably made the finishing effort of Champ look that bit more spectacular. But for me, I think it was more the second and the third slowing down.
Yeah, okay.
More so than Champ, because you know the back end of a race like that, you're not going to be accelerating in a truly run event like that, like what Champ was. But still, nonetheless, the main thing is Champ jumping wise, he really, because it was even put to Barry Geraghty before the race, he isn't very intelligent horse. He isn't a very intelligent horse. And Barry Geraghty didn't disagree. But he really, and Ruby Walsh highlighted as well beforehand, he said he might just have really learned from that fall, because it was a bad fall at Cheltenham prior to that. And he said it could really, really educate him. And it certainly looked the case the other day. He was fantastic. Jumped around great. By far the best I've ever seen him jump. And obviously, yeah, he finished off quite nicely. But I suppose to the eye, visually, it was a dramatic finish, wasn't it? And, you know, the way he scooted from the back of the last. But, no, I think, I'd say performance-wise, for me, there was several. But on the book, it was going to be Goshen.
Of course, yes.
You know, because, and, you know, people will say, well, oh, God, why didn't he just do what he had been doing and run him down the hurdle when he had the race in the bag? But surely Jamie Moore couldn't have thought in a triumph that he was 10-12 clear. You know, he's got to keep the revs up. He's got to keep the momentum going. There's a lot of people stood down at the last. You see so many horses take their eye off it. And it was heartbreaking. But more so, it was just completely freakish what happened.
I was on the podcast yesterday with Craig Forsyth, and we were trying to put into perspective that an incident like that, where two horseshoes come together and almost stick magnetically, get hooked on one another, that is a huge shock and a horrible piece of misfortune if it was in a minor event on a Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. For that to be in a championship race at the Cheltenham Festival over the final flight, to pinpoint that particular moment of misfortune, it's almost unfathomable how just darn unlucky it really was.
Really was. And, you know, he was very lucky not to do himself some real damage to his actual hoof.
Yeah.
But for it to catch like that, the amount of times you will hear a horse's shoes from the back shoes catching the front shoe, and you'll hear the clip clopping an awful lot, but that doesn't mean that they're catching. Sometimes in really, really bad ground, if a horse gets bogged down for a stride, in making such effort to get the hind feet out, an awful lot of time they will overreach and catch the, that's why horses lose shoes, because to lose the certainly front shoes, to lose the front shoes, the back ones generally catch them and just clip them off. But that was freakish, the way that the hind leg actually stayed there for what seemed like an eternity.
And
when
must
it
have
was
felt for Jamie Moore like an eternity.
Exactly. And AP summed it up. He said that was where the momentum, just because he was going to sit the mistake.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be very pretty, and you wouldn't have been buying the photograph. But without that momentum stopper with the shoe catching, that's what pitched Jamie's left leg just out of the iron. And unfortunately, gravity won the day. It was just completely freak. Really was, because I think they were going to survive the error.
Yes.
It would have been a real momentum halter, but he would have been 12 lengths clear. Yeah.
Had it in the bank.
Yeah, he'd have gotten away with it. But unfortunately, that just made gravity win the day, unfortunately. But so yeah, I think visually that would have been, but I can't really give that as the performance because he didn't complete the course. I would say probably the way the horse was ridden was Fernie Hollow in the bumper.
Okay.
Towards the last half mile in the champion bumper. Marla All-Star in the centre in the dark sleeves has come through with Five Bar Brian, the dark blue cap. Adramel shaken along. Appreciated is getting there in the blue and green, has come to join the leading line. Working across then to Queensbrook with a red cap. The white face, the glancing queen, has come through the field out wide in behind a One True King in the maroon and yellow. Third time lucky in the black and white is also closing in. They swing for home, and it's Appreciated who sauntered into a narrow lead, but he's immediately challenged by Queensbrook on the left. Escalane is running on strongly with a yellow cap, then third time lucky from a long way back. Fernie Hollow is also staying on. They've got a furlong to go in the champion bumper. Appreciate it being attacked on either side. Fernie Hollow is joining him on the far side, then Queensbrook behind these Escalane, and it's Fernie Hollow who stormed into the lead of the hands of Paul Town and Willie Mullins in the race that he's made his own at the festival. Fernie Hollow takes the Weatherby's champion bumper from Appreciate It.
Because he is a very difficult horse to manage. He's got, you know, he's very, very, they've tried riding him from the front in the past because he's been a keen forward goer. And as soon as they started these tactics of dropping him out, now, I mean, he dropped him out stone last from a standing start the other day. I mean, he literally trotted him away from the tapes. I mean, it was a very, very brave, gutsy ride. Obviously, look, he had the horse underneath him, but I thought Fernie Hollow, because Patrick Mullins on the second couldn't have ridden a better race. But Fernie Hollow went by him and cleared away, having been dropped out stone. Now, we've seen it in the past in the Cheltenham Bumper. Horses can come from a long way back. But how many runners did we have?
23 in the end.
23. And like I say, he walked him out stone last on purpose, switched him off, and he's ended up clearing away to win by over two lengths. It was a serious performance, because my selection for the race was third, Queen's Brook. I think she's a very good mare. Everything has turned up and run its race of the fancied ones. So Fernie Hollow, I thought, was probably the ride of the meeting and the performance.
Fernie Hollow winning the 5:30 on Wednesday. That was the Champion Bumper Grade 1 contest. Right, that's Cheltenham Festival taken care of a little bit. I want to talk about today as well. We've had some good stuff at Kempton and Uttoxeter. We are recording this moments after the Midlands National has come and gone.
Truckers Lodge with the lead here. It's a handsome advantage over Captain Drake, staying on really well in second. Truckers Lodge comes to the last then in the Midlands Grand National. Truckers Lodge over safely. Captain Drake made a bad mistake in second. That sealed it. It's Truckers Lodge for Paul Nichols and Lorcan Williams, Gordon and Sue Hall, going to be a fabulous winner of the Midlands Grand National. Truckers Lodge takes it, goes one better than at Chepstow over Christmas. Captain Drake second, really gamely, holding Joe Farrell third. She needed the run fourth, then very first time, Shayma Laik. And I think the last to finish, Dominator.
So, the Midlands National went the way of Truckers Lodge, beating Captain Drake and Joe Farrell 6-1, 7-1 and 12-1. The SPs, you mentioned earlier that the ground isn't maybe as bad as we first thought, which when you initially see a 4 mile, 2 furlong heavy standard of contest, you're looking at pure stamina there. What did you make of this race and thusly the winner?
Winner was very, very impressive. He's done nothing but improve this season, and he's obviously been targeted at the race because he's not been seen since finishing second, and albeit not beaten very far in a Welsh National.
Okay.
Has got some particularly good strong form round Chepstow, in fairness, so obviously he's a horse who stays a trip. He's a good jumper, jumping around a track like Chepstow on several occasions, and I thought got a very, very good ride from Lorcan Williams, who, you know, he hasn't had that many opportunities for his boss on a busy Saturday, but he's got one today, and he's taken it with both hands. And I mean, he was pricking his ears down over the last two, so you would say that there's even more improvement. And I know he had a lovely racing weight on his back, 10 stone 7, but you know, he's only 8 year old and he isn't a horse with a great deal of miles on the clock, so he could still be progressing. But he's put a good strong field to bed there quite easily.
Truckers Lodge winning the Midlands National on Saturday afternoon. Captain Drake, Joe Farrell, She Needed the Run, very first time, Simo Loch coming in behind for the first six home. Dominator finished seventh. Everything else failed to finish. Right, that just about wraps up Saturday. And as we're back into normal podcast territory here at William Hill HQ, a reminder that if you're just joining the podcast and you found us during the Cheltenham Festival, welcome. Please feel free to subscribe or download wherever you get your audio on demand. Simply search William Hill Racing on iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, wherever you may be. What we like to do on these podcasts is get our pundit for the day to have a look at a couple of races the following day so that you can have a little look and have some bets if you so wish. Paddy is going to have a look at a couple for us on Sunday. We have three race meetings that are scheduled to go ahead: Carlisle, Market Raisin and Limerick. Carlisle are subject to a 7 a.m. inspection. The going is currently listed as heavy, so Carlisle has an inspection on race day morning. And obviously with the world pandemic going around with coronavirus, everything, and I mean everything, is subject to change. So if you are thinking about heading to any of the venues, very nice, have a lovely day, but please make sure you are taking notice of any announcements regarding some meetings taking place behind closed doors, as Kelso is on Monday, for example. So, nevertheless, we've got a lot to talk about with Paddy. We've got a race at Market Raisin and a race at Limerick to look at first. We're going to talk about Limerick's 240. It's a handicap hurdle, 80 to 109 for four-year-olds and above. 13 of them going to post, 2 miles and six furlongs for this 240 contest. Down the card, Moyoda Gold is 11 to 4, 100 to 30 for Sheriff Delisle. 15 to 2 for First Class Return. Balea Fox is 9 to 1. Offshore Oscar 10s. Nichols Milan 10s. Spansil Hill also 10 to 1. The Ballyboys 12s. Seskinane is 14 to 1. Sweet Sting 14 to 1. Cala Di Volpe is 22s. Notice to Close 25s. And 28 to 1 for Citizen Al. First thing to note is that this is one of our extra place contests. So we're going to talk about a couple in this race. If you do want to get involved, we're paying four places instead of three at one-fifth of the odds. Terms and conditions do apply, including a minimum number of runners, which is normally set at 12. Paddy, you have completely open floor here. Which one would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I'm with the favourite here.
Okay.
My Old Gold, around about 11 to 4 at the minute. I won't say she's been a frustrating mare, but I really wish Connections would put a pair of blinkers on her, because she just doesn't give her jockey much help. I mean, I think she was beaten fair and square the last day, but the time before that, she literally just came off the bridle and left so much work up to her jockey. She actually done incredibly well to finish as close as what she did in the end, because her chance looked, she looked dead and buried, to be fair. And her last four starts have all actually come at Fairy House. Now, the only worrying thing is here, her previous run at the track, Limerick, was probably her most underwhelming run to date.
Okay, yeah.
But that said, that was in a bumper. Now she's over hurdles and she does continue to progress. She has managed to win a race, and as I said, she's hit the crossbar on the last couple of occasions. And although beaten favourite last time, I do think she's run another solid race. She has got these cheap pieces on again tomorrow, but her mark continues to go up. She's up to 107 now, but Gavin Broder is on board again, so that offsets a bit, and he does know her. But she's just lazy, and if she can hold her posse tomorrow and just give Gavin a little bit of help and travel around a bit better, you know, we're going to have deep ground, stiff track, 2 miles six, you know, everything, all the boxes are ticked for her there. But it's just all about sort of mid race, where if she doesn't hit that flat spot, she will be there with every chance, because she's got plenty of weight on her back, so she can't really afford to be doing that. But hopefully, if she's on her best behaviour, at round about 11 to 4, My Old Gold.
My Old Gold, the favourite and the selection for Paddy. As I mentioned, this is one of our extra place races. Is there anything at all at maybe a slightly bigger price that you might give a little nod or a mention to?
Well, I mean, obviously, the second in, we know all about Chef Delisle, but, you know, is certainly more exposed, but obviously the yard continue in good form. But like I say, it's all down to what sort of side of the bed My Old Gold gets out of, because she certainly, for a mare who hasn't had an awful lot of racing, she does look a little bit moody, but albeit talented. But I'm hoping she can get herself back in the winner's enclosure tomorrow.
My Old Gold, then, the selection, so long as she gets out the right side of bed at the Limerick's 240 tomorrow. The final race that we're going to talk about is at Market Raisin. It's the 5 o'clock contest at Market Raisin. Eight of them going to post, good to soft ground, 2 miles, half a furlong, handicap hurdle class 4, 0 to 105. Player Blanca, 11 to 8, 5 to 2 for Torrid. Mahmood is 4 to 1, 9 to 1 for Celestial Magic. Scrutinize, 12 to 1. Valseur de Granval is also 12 to 1. Smashing Last, 28 to 1, 33 to 1 for Sweet Flora. Not quite as many to choose from here. Where are we siding with this one, Paddy?
Yeah, with the Player Blanca here at the top, simply because Seamus Mullins turns this one out quick after winning a boys' race at Warwick last time, so therefore is unpenalised. Got the excellent Ben Jones on top again. Does have its fair share of weight to carry tomorrow, this 5-year-old gelding, but when I say that, he is only 5-year-old, he is pretty unexposed, and the money did come from the last day, and it was a welcome winner for Seamus Mullins, because he just had a little bit of a lean spell by his standards of late. But Player Blanca got the job done quite nice, and hopefully, if shown no ill effects for the Warwick race, which I thought he was well on top at the death. I think the market has got it about right here, with Player Blanca being top at round about 11 to 8.
11-8 is indeed the current price. Fairly warm favourite as well, considering that second favourite is 5-2, third favourite at 4-1, and then a bit of a big jump to 9-1. A couple of favourites for Paddy then on Sunday. Just an FYI, at current odds, 11-4 Moyoda Gold and 11-8 Player Blanca, the double pays just shy of 8-1. That's not a shabby little double, Paddy, is it?
No, that looks reasonable enough.
We'll take a bit of 8-1 as a possible double on Sunday. Thanks ever so much, Paddy, for joining us. When are you next with us in the William Hill Racing Radio studio?
That's a good question. Might be next Sunday or Saturday.
Oh, we've given you a little bit of time off then. Yep. No doubt you might be a late call-up. You're very good for that.
Yeah, always like a spare.
Paddy, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast.
Cheers, Ben.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.